want to invite you to take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 again. Open to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Last week, we started to look at this book of 2 Corinthians, this letter, and we saw that in many ways it is the autobiography of the Apostle Paul and his heart as a pastor, as a shepherd. And today we're going to look at verses 3 through 7, and we see some of the content of that heart of Paul, and we see that it's full of praise, as Paul's testimony often is. And what's surprising is the circumstances in which he is able to praise God. Because what we know from the book of 2 Corinthians is that Paul is facing trouble. He faces trial and affliction, and he tells us about that as we go on in this book of 2 Corinthians. But this is Paul's testimony of how he deals with that, how he handles the trouble. If we look ahead at verse 4 of chapter 2, he writes about his trouble. He says, "For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears." And so we see the difficulty, the trial that he faces. Every one of us is going to face some sort of trouble, some sort of trial. How do you handle that? Oftentimes we handle that with things that are outside of ourselves. Need some food or chocolate to make it through, or escaping from that, finding the TV or somehow you need to just get away from it. But we see how Paul handled his trouble. And the way that Paul handled his trouble began on the inside. It began with his heart, not his blood pumper, but his inner man. And we see the characteristics of that heart in these verses. We see, first of all, the way that Paul dealt with his trouble, how he handled his trouble, first of all, is with a heart of praise. We see a heart of praise being demonstrated. And then we see, secondly, a heart of thanks. We see the blessings that Paul recognizes in his trouble. Notice verse 3, where we see Paul's heart of praise. Paul says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort." What is Paul doing here in this text as he starts out this epistle? He is praising God. Paul's praising God. And it's not just the ink coming off of his pen, but it's the reflection of his heart. How he truly views God. A heart of praise recognizes God's worthiness of praise. We see that in the word blessed. Blessed be God. The idea of blessed is worthy of praise. And that's something that is expressed in gratitude to God, in worship and adoration to God. But Paul starts out by demonstrating how he handles this trouble by recognizing that God is worthy of his praise. God is blessed. Blessed be God. And then he also shows that his heart of praise recognizes God's identity. He says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we have a recognition of God's eternal being and deity. He starts off his letter with the recognition that God is God. And he's the Father of Christ. And that is a reality that has existed from all eternity. God and his relationship to Jesus Christ. He didn't become the Father when Christ was born into this world. God has always existed in that relationship to Jesus Christ. And then those words, our Lord Jesus Christ, remind us of Christ coming into the world. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ reminds us He did indeed come. And so Paul starts out by praising God, recognizing His identity. And then he praises God by recognizing God's character and work. Look again at verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. So here we see God's character. And the way that Paul describes God's character is Father of mercies. Father of mercies. And that speaks of the compassion that God feels for the afflicted. Mercies. That is a word that describes the way that God views people that are afflicted. He sympathizes with them. He has compassion on them. God is not blind to the affliction that Paul faces or that any of the rest of us face. And His disposition towards people that are going through trouble is sympathy and compassion, not revenge and getting even and hatred. That's not God's attitude towards His children. He's a Father of compassion, a Father of mercies. And then we see the nature of God's work for the afflicted. Notice again verse 3, the God of all comfort. And then he carries that idea on in verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. And this is the key word of this passage, and really even a key word of the book of 2 Corinthians, this word comfort. In fact, this word is used 10 times in this section, verses 3 through 7, in its noun and verb form. We see the God of all comfort in verse 4, and then the verb form in verse, or rather, the God of all comfort, verse 3, the verb form of the word in verse 4, who comforteth us. And then later in verse 4, comfort, comforted. And then verse 5, consolation. That's the same word for comfort. And again in verse 6 and in verse 7. And so this is the major idea here. Paul praising God for His work of comfort. So what does that mean? What does the word comfort mean in the Bible? You know, when we think of comfort, we think of the chair that you have at home. Now that's comfortable, right? And you get comfort from that chair and you can relax at the end of the day. And or else we might think of the temperature on a nice summer evening. That's a comfortable temperature. The sun gone down and it's just the summer. That's comfortable. But the word for comfort in the Bible is a little bit different idea. It's a word that is made up of two Greek words, and it's a word that means to make strong together, or to call alongside for the purpose of strengthening. We see the word used many other times, as I mentioned here in the book, but we see the role of the Trinity in that action, making strong together. The Father is mentioned here, the God of all comfort. But in John chapter 15 and verse 16, Jesus promised that there would be another comforter. Who was He talking about? He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And this is a role of the Holy Spirit to come alongside and strengthen. And then we see the role of Jesus Christ Himself. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. This same word is used of Christ, translated advocate. We have an advocate. That's the same word for comforter. Jesus Christ the righteous. And so God is involved in this process of comforting. The past couple of weeks, I have had to make a call for some help to my roadside assistance on my car insurance, because I needed some help. And the first time was my wife. She had a flat tire in Mount Vernon, and so she had to make that call. But someone came and provided assistance. The second time I had to call, I locked my keys in the car, and I had to get out. You know, I couldn't help myself, strengthen myself. But that's the idea of this word for comfort, being called alongside for the purpose of strengthening. And we even see that in our English word comfort, those two parts there, to strengthen, fort, come together for strengthening. And that's the idea here. And then we notice specifically about that activity, that work for the afflicted, that is something that is a continual activity. And we see that at the beginning of verse 4. Look at verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Or it could be translated, who is comforting us in all our tribulation. That's a reminder that God provides this strengthening continually. Not just at a one-time occasion in the past, but it is a continual activity that God provides and is engaged in for His children. And then we see that He's always ready to comfort, whatever the circumstances may be. He's called the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. So if there's any situation in which you need to be strengthened by God, God is able to do it. There is no situation in which He is not able to comfort you, to strengthen you. He's the God of all comfort, the comfort that's needed in any situation. And the specific circumstances of God's comfort are referred to here when Paul says, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. And the word for tribulation is a word that means a pressure, a pressing together. And this is another key word that happens in the book of 2 Corinthians. Here in this chapter, it's referred to in verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble. That's the same word for affliction, or tribulation, rather, in verse 4. And it's used throughout the epistle for Paul's pressures that he faced. But even for those pressures, those situations that were just mounting up on top of him and pressing him down, Paul is saying, and God is saying through Paul, that God provides strengthening for those troubles, those pressure situations. God provides that. A heart of praise. That's how Paul starts out. God is worthy of praise. Recognize His identity. That's how he praises God. He recognizes His character and His work. He praises God by doing that as well. You've probably heard of the pastor many years ago, Dr. Henry Ironside. He was a pastor of the Moody Church in Chicago for many years. And in a sermon on this passage, he told a story about a pastor who was facing some pressure on a Saturday. He had a busy week and had to get ready for Sunday. And so he said to his wife, "Honey, you're going to have to keep the kids out. I got to work." And this wasn't me, okay? So somehow the kids got in his study, and said, "Honey, you got to keep these kids out. I got to work here, all right? I'm facing this pressure." And so, well, it happened again. The kids came in, and the mother heard about it, so she frantically tried to get something together for them to play with, and so she found some a box of nuts for them to crack, some walnuts, and there was a nutcracker, and so she gave that to the kids, and they were playing with that. But the problem was there's only one nutcracker, and there's three kids, and so one of them, or two of them, have to figure out another way to crack the walnuts, and so one of them decided to put the walnut in the door jamb and slammed the door jamb. And so the little girl was doing that, and guess what happened? The inevitable. The finger got stuck in there. Huge cry of pain, okay. Honey, get these kids and get them out of here. So the mother picks up the little girl and consoles her and says, honey, it's okay. I'll get you a Band-Aid. But the little girl said, it's not that it hurts so much. It's that Daddy didn't even notice. You know, that's exactly not how God sees us in our trials. When God sees the afflicted children, his children going through trouble, his attitude is one of sympathy and compassion. That's why Paul says he is the father of mercies. When his children are going through trouble and trial, be it a health problem, problem in a relationship, a problem at work, God's attitude is compassion and noticing and sympathy. That's how he is disposed towards us. And that's why Paul praises God. And that's how we can praise God too. In our trouble, our heart can be full of praise because of how God reveals himself. He's the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Paul begins with praise as he shows us a heart that handles trouble. And that's how we should begin as well. And so often that's not how we begin. Praising God is the furthest thing from our hearts. Usually our hearts are full of complaints and unthankfulness and a lack of focus on God. But Paul begins this letter, even in the midst of his trouble, with saying, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, a heart of praise. And then we see another description of Paul's heart in this text. We see his heart of praise, but then as Paul goes on in verses 4 through 7, we see a heart of thanks, a heart of thanks. And we see in verses 4 through 7, four blessings that Paul sees in the trouble he faces. And when we think of Thanksgiving, we think of specific things to be thankful for. And as Paul goes on in this letter, he reminds us that we do have specific things to be thankful for, even in times of trouble. And Paul's heart is thankful for those things. We see the first one in verse 4. Look again at verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And so Paul is thankful for, first of all, the ministry we can have in troubled times. The ministry we can have in troubled times. And we see in verse 4 that it is a purpose for the troubled times. That ministry that we can have is a purpose. Look again at verse 4. Paul says, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. That's a purpose statement. Paul is giving testimony of his own affliction, his own trial, and he's giving thanks with the recognition that he has a ministry, and it's the it is a purpose for that affliction. And he says also that it equips us. It equips us for that ministry. It gives us the ability, he says, that we may be able to comfort. He's saying the experiences that he has faced has equipped him to comfort others, to come alongside and strengthen others. And it also enables us to help others in all kinds of trouble. He says that we may be able to comfort them by which are in any trouble. Any trouble. You know, that's a reality. As Christians, God, even in our trials and trouble, gives us a ministry. He gives us the ability. You say, well, I don't see how I could ever help somebody else. Well, God says you can. And he says you can help somebody in all kinds of trouble. Any kind of trouble. It's possible to be an instrument of God's comfort in the midst of troubled times. And Paul thanks God for that, for this ministry that we can have in troubled times. And we see that especially in verse 4 again, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And that phrase at the end there is significant for us because it shows us that that ministry is possible even in the time of the trouble. He says that he can use this comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God or are being comforted. So he recognizes he can have that ministry even in the midst of this situation. It's not that he has to wait until down the road God will equip him and after he gets through this. That's not it. It's that in the midst of this problem that he faces, he can have this ministry. He's receiving that comfort. He's being comforted of God. And he can minister to others. And he thanks the Lord for that. You know, we have a great illustration of that in Acts, where Paul and Silas are there in the jail at Philippi. And they have every reason not to minister to others. But their heart's full of praise. And what happens when that earthquake comes and shakes them loose from their chains? In the midst of that trouble, they have a ministry. And that Philippian jailer comes and says, what must I do to be saved? In the midst of that trouble, they had a ministry. So Paul gives thanks for the ministry we can have in troubled times. And then there's another reason to give thanks in verse 5. Look at verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And so we have another reason for thanks here, and that is the sufficiency of God's comfort in troubled times. We give thanks for the ministry we can have in troubled times, and Paul gives thanks for the sufficiency of God's comfort in troubled times. And we see that that itself is a reason for the ministry. He says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth. This is a reminder that we will face sufferings for following Christ. As the sufferings of Christ abound in us. Paul faces sufferings because he follows Christ. Now, his sufferings are not the same as Christ's sufferings. They were not substitutionary sufferings like Christ's sufferings were. But they are sufferings because he follows Christ, because he is preaching the gospel. And Paul is thrown into prison. He's being beaten. And that's not because of his bad and sinful behavior. It's because of his testimony of the gospel. We will face sufferings. But we see here a key for enduring the sufferings. They're not our own. They are shared with Christ. Then we see also that there may be an overabundance of the sufferings. Verse 5 again says, as the sufferings of Christ abound in us. Abound. That's a word that means more than you would expect. More than you would expect. Right now at our house, we are learning how to drink out of cups without lids on them. And sometimes what happens, there's an individual who goes and fills up that cup and fills it a little bit too high. And what happens? There's water coming over the top and going on the floor. And when you have to learn, that's too much. And, you know, sometimes that may be how you feel. Lord, this is too much. These sufferings are abounding. This is getting to the top of my glass, and it's coming over the top, and I cannot handle it. That's how Paul felt as well. He says, the sufferings of Christ abound They are more than expected. So there may be an abundance of those. But corresponding to that, there's an overabundance of comfort available from Christ. He says at the end of verse 5, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. So you may feel like the sufferings, the trouble is coming up to the top and going over. But you need to recognize that the comfort, the strengthening of Christ will match that. It will abound at the same time. There's an overabundance of comfort available from Christ. So Paul gives thanks for the sufficiency of God's comfort in troubled times. You know, it's a reality that everybody in the world is going to face trouble. Some of us will face trouble for following Christ. But, you know, not everybody will receive comfort from following Christ unless you are following Christ. And today I'm speaking about a reality that is only true for some people in the world. The comfort that God gives to His children is available to those who are His. And it may be that you're here today and you're not following Christ. You're not a Christian. You cannot experience the comfort that God provides unless you come to Christ. This is a benefit of those who are Christ's. And the way that you do that is to recognize your sin and to call out to Jesus Christ to save you from your sin and to rely completely and totally on Christ for the deliverance that you need for all eternity. And if you do that, and if you become a follower of Christ, you can experience the sufficiency of God's comfort in troubled times. And if you don't have Christ, you won't experience that. You won't experience that comfort. The sufficiency of God's comfort. Then we see a third reason that Paul gives thanks in his heart. In verse 6, look at verse 6. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And so here we see Paul gives thanks for not only the ministry we can have, the sufficiency of God's comfort in troubled times, but also the beneficial results of the experience of those troubled times. The beneficial results of the experience of those troubled times. And we see in verse 6, some of those beneficial results. And those are the results both of the consolation or the encouragement and also the affliction. We see whether we be afflicted in verse 6. And then at the end, whether we be comforted, we have these results. These beneficial results are both able to be experienced. We see one of those results is leading to others to the way of salvation. Look again at verse 6. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So Paul recognizes that the purpose of his affliction in his missionary endeavor is their salvation, leading people to Christ. Paul is being beaten, thrown into prison because of a message that he is giving out, a message of salvation. And Paul recognizes the fact that he's experiencing that so that that message will go out and result in salvation for these people. It will lead people to salvation. Another result is helping people in the demonstration of their salvation. We see that in the phrase which says, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings. The word effectual just means it's an expression, a working out of that reality. Paul is an example, teaching them how to work out the reality of their salvation, demonstrating it in their lives. And that leads to strengthening them in endurance, leads to strengthening, which is effectual, he says in verse 6, in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. So Paul sees these results that are beneficial in the experience of troubled times. And he gives thanks to God for them. And then we see a fourth reason in verse 7. A fourth reason for Paul giving thanks. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. So Paul gives thanks for the ministry we can have, the sufficiency of God's comfort, the beneficial results, and then he gives thanks for the confidence of receiving God's comfort in troubled times. We see that in verse 7 of the Corinthians. Our hope of you is steadfast. The level of confidence, he says, can be very strong. It can be very strong. It's steadfast. Our hope of you is steadfast. That word steadfast has to do with a strength of an anchor used in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, describing an anchor, something that is secure, that's steadfast. You know, you can, there's different ways you can hang up your pictures in your house. You know, you can use, depending on what your wall is, you can use, just a nail, or you can use an anchor and secure the thing to the wall, and it's not going anywhere for years. And Paul has a confidence here about the Corinthians in their time of trouble. And it's very strong. It's very strong. And that shows us that the confidence we can have in times of trouble can be strong as well. And we see that confidence can be strong in spite of past struggle. Who is Paul talking to? Who is Paul writing to? He's writing to the Corinthian church. And we know that the Corinthian church had its problems. They had their problems resulting from the culture in which they lived, bleeding into the church, resulting in immorality, divisions within the church, other problems as well. But yet, Paul has a confidence about them. And that's a pretty strong confidence he has. Now, that's as a result of his being with them and they're responding to the truth of God. But in spite of that past struggle, that confidence can be there. Even in trouble, it can be there. And the Corinthian church is a testimony to that. Then we see the reason for that confidence in this verse. As ye are partakers of the sufferings, Paul says, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. So Paul looks at the Corinthians, and he looks at what they're experiencing, the trouble that they're experiencing, and he recognizes that they are partakers, and that word is our word for fellowship. They share in the same sufferings that Paul did, and that shows to him that they can have confidence. They're going through the same thing that Paul's going through. And so they can have the same confidence that Paul has. So the confidence of receiving God's comfort in troubled times. One of the great pastors of the 1800s, early part of the 1900s, was a Scottish preacher named Alexander White. And I have some of his books on my bookshelf that I inherited, but they're signed by him. Some of his Bible characters, studies on Bible characters. But there's a story in Alexander White's childhood that describes how he, as a boy, was helping with the threshing and had his arm caught in the threshing machine. And everybody thought that he would lose it. His mother did not take him to the hospital. Apparently there was a neighbor who had some homey ways of treatment that she relied upon. But she would ask the neighbor, you know, what's going to happen here? But one thing that Alexander White did have at that time was a lot of pain, as you can imagine. But the neighbor would come over and listen to him cry out in pain, and she would say, "I like the pain. I like the pain." Why did she say that? Because it showed some hope for his arm. The nerves are still being there, connected. In the same way, sometimes we go through pain in our lives and times of trouble, and we don't like the pain. And we complain about that. And we struggle with why God is allowing these circumstances in our life. But Paul comes at the beginning of this epistle, and he says, in so many words, "I like the pain. I see the benefit of the trouble in my life. I praise God for the comfort that He provides. My heart is full of thanks for these reasons, for this ministry I can have, for the sufficiency of God's strength. It will match the trouble that I face. And so I thank the Lord for it." So the pain, the trouble, doesn't seem useful. But Paul, with God's help, recognizes the benefit. So today, how are you doing with your trouble? How are you doing with the pain that you might face? Maybe it's emotional pain. Maybe it's a physical ailment that you're dealing with. Maybe it's a problem, a result of taking a stand for Christ, like Paul did. How are you dealing with that? More importantly, how are you dealing with that in your heart? Do you praise the Lord? Are you beginning your day thanking God for who He is, Father of mercies, God of all comfort, and then recognizing the benefit, the ministry that He may be giving you, the sufficiency of God's strength that will match that trial and difficulty? Thank the Lord for those things. Praise the Lord for those things. We often miss the blessings in the trouble. But the Scriptures remind us here in this text that there are blessings there. There are always blessings in God. And there are always reasons to give thanks. May the Lord help us. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this passage of Scripture that teaches us how our attitude needs to be shaped. And we pray that You would do the work in our hearts today and help us to be full of praise for what You have done, for who You are, Lord. We thank You that You reveal Yourself as a merciful Father, one who is sympathetic to us. We pray that You would help our hearts to be thankful. I pray, Lord, that You would help each one of us to be sure that we can receive that comfort from You. Lord, if there's anybody here today that is not with Christ, that does not know Christ, I pray that You would reveal them to themselves. Reveal that to themselves today. And may they come to know You. We pray that each one of us would be right with You today so that we may fellowship with You and experience the grace that You have for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and turn to number 2.